Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with ESPN and SEC Network basketball analyst Jimmy Dykes. He is an author of a book that just came out last month that I purchased a copy of and just thoroughly enjoyed reading, called The Film Doesn't Lie, Evaluating Your Life One Play at a Time. And while a lot of us are being asked to stay inside right now, coach, because of the coronavirus, instead of vegging out in front of the television for several hours, you can buy a copy of this book. I mean, it has really personally challenged me and my faith as I've been reading over it the past week, and it's really made me kind of take a look at the words I speak and the importance of our words. If you missed yesterday's program, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. We talked about that part of his book in yesterday's program. It's only 14 minutes long. You can catch that podcast at your convenience there at hopeishere.today. Jimmy also talks about how you are with your commitments and forgiveness, amongst several other great topics that he has, and also lots of great stories from his experiences with ESPN and the SEC Network. So really want to encourage you to check out the book. I know you'll be blessed like I was. But Jimmy, in chapter 5 of your book, you talked about how to survive a drought. And since we are dealing with some really challenging times right now with this situation with the coronavirus in our country right now, I thought maybe you might share some of those six areas that we can focus on that you listed in your book.
Yeah, I think we all in life are going to go through times where it doesn't go our way, you know, and I just refer to that as a drought. And, man, that can take so many forms in our life, you know, and some droughts are more severe than others, but I think we all go through challenging times, and we're all going to go through them. If we're not in one right now, we're probably heading into one, or we just came out of one. And I think there's a right way and a wrong way to go through them. But more importantly, I think there's a way that God lays out for us in his scripture, you know, how to handle those times. And that's, you know, I remember off the top of my head, and they're talking about one of the main things is we have to control what we can control. And, you know, all those things from our thought life to our words to how we treat others to those main things in our life, those are things that we still can control and we have to control when it's not going our way and there's uncertainty in our life or bad things have happened to us. But we still are on the hook for a life that honors God with how we treat others and how we go about our day, you know. I think that's important. You know, we have to continue to do what's right when things go wrong, and that's not easy to do. That takes commitment. It takes obedience. It takes, you know, resiliency and intentional acts on our part. But it's so easy when things don't go your way and hard times hit to just kind of let go of the rope and abandon those convictions that we say we live with. And but there's nowhere in God's word that says when it gets tough to let go of the rope. And if anything, it says to hold on tighter. I think that's the calling that we all have to have. We all have to look at in our life right now in terms of how do we handle things when they don't go our way. I think a key thing when it's tough is to remain thankful. I think nothing pleases God more or irritates the enemy more is when we remain thankful when hard times hit, and thankful for who God is, if nothing else, just that simple thankfulness of who God is in our life, the promises that he has for us, for life with him eternally, for those that, you know, accept Jesus as his son, for our personal savior. And then I think, you know, the thing right now in our country that applies in a drought is just not to fear and not getting stuck on why did this happen. And I think there's 365 times in the Bible that phrase or similar phrase, do not fear, is in the Bible. Because I think God knew that, man, we're all going to have times where we're just not sure, we're fearful. Those thoughts start trying to dominate us. I think it's important not to let that dominate us and to not be fearful. And certainly you can't get stuck on why. I don't think anything good happens from just crying out to God, why? There may be times in life where we never know why things happen, you know, and that comes back to he's God and we're not. We have to trust him, and someday if he chooses to show us exactly why something occurred in our life, that'll be a great day. But if he chooses not to and we don't find out till we're in heaven someday, then that, you have to be okay with that as well. So I just think that's the chapter that really speaks to everyone. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, a husband, a wife, a mom, a worker, a coach, whatever. Like, we're all going to go through times in our life that don't make sense, that are heartbreaking, that are tough. And I think there's some really, you know, powerful stuff in that chapter to help people understand when things go tough and things are hard, these are things to hold on to during those kind of times.
One of the things I really liked in the first thing you talked about, controlling what you can control, you said, you must claim and speak God's words of truth intentionally and with purpose when you're under attack. If you memorize just one verse to repeat over and over throughout the day, so be it. But find a verse and speak that verse and repeat it. If not, you can drown in your own spoken words. Control what you can control, and our words are a huge part of that equation. And that's one of the things I've tried to do in my life. Sometimes I had a wise friend one time say, you know, write a scripture out on a post-it note and stick it in your bathroom mirror, and so you see it first thing in the morning in the dashboard of your car while you're driving. If you've got a cubicle at work or you spend a lot of time on your laptop, place it there. But just continually feeding, God's word into your mind. Is that something that you try to do? Maybe have a verse that you kind of meditate on for a week or something?
Yeah, I've had times in my life where I've had to just literally speak out a verse 12 or 15 times during the day just to make sure my heart and my thoughts stay on the right stuff. And man, there's so much power in that. You know, we know from God's written word that that's exactly how Jesus went right back at the enemy when he attacked him. You know, it was through speaking just outwardly the written promises of God. And man, there's so much truth, there's so much power in that if we can have the discipline to do it and learn to do it. But it has to be intentional. Again, these are things that they just don't come natural for us, you know. It takes an uncommon practice and an uncommon discipline to make it common in our life. And I think if you do that, man, it becomes the common for you, not the uncommon. But I know speaking words that align with God's written word to us, man, there's so much impact on our heart, on our thoughts, on our words if we do it.
Well, in the area about doing what's right that you talked about, you gave a great example about Virginia coach Tony Bennett, who went through that just brutal loss to 16 seed in the NCAA tournament. Share a little bit about that example of how he did what was right.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy that I think we all look up to in terms of, if I just think of the word consistency in coaching, it's Tony Bennett, not just because of how his teams play, but just who he is. He's consistent when he wins the national championship. He's consistent when he loses as the first ever one seed. And how he handled both of those scenarios, I think, speaks volumes to who he is. I think it's a terrific example for all of us. In terms of how to do things right when it's not easy to do the right thing, like he did when he lost there as a coach of a number one seed, and kind of how they handled that is a great lesson in that book for all of us from that scenario, and how those kids responded and how they responded over the next year in terms of being, you know, they just the things I talked about in the book, just being thankful and controlling what they can control, and how all that played out for them, you know, a year later as a national champion. So, it's a book, even if you don't like sports is not your deal, like, this book is far, far more than a sports book. It's not even listed as a sports book on the Amazon bestseller list and all that. It's a faith-based, you know, book, and there's sports stories in there that I think guys that love sports that don't have a relationship with the Lord, they're going to love the book because they can get some insight into some conversations and behind-the-scenes stuff that only I get to see as an insider with ESPN. But this book is about drawing people to a greater, more intense, more authentic, more real walk with God and letting Him change your heart.
Well, you shared a great example about a young man that played at Michigan. named Austin that, man, he really chose to trust God and not ask why. Share a little bit about what he went with, losing his parents at an early age.
Yeah, Austin Hatch went through something that no one else ever has. He survived two plane crashes, basically, from the time he was 7 or 8 years old till he was about 15 or 16, both private airplane crashes with his dad as the pilot, and eventually lost his whole family in those plane crashes. And, man, that's a kid that just so much resiliency and so many good lessons to learn from his story and his faith in the ever-changing power of God in his life, and how his hand has been held by God through all that. And Austin has become a good friend of mine, and I met him 2 years ago at the Final Four, and when we were honoring Coach Beilein as a winner at a breakfast. And that's a real story, and that's what I think is kind of cool about this book. There's a lot of just real, authentic stories that I think people are going to really relate to. You know, like, I think that's how you speak to people's hearts. You put it in words that they can understand and they can relate to, and they can see themselves going through, or have already gone through, or someone close to them has gone through. And certainly that story of Austin Hatch is unique. It's severe, but it's also life-changing for him. I think it's life-changing for the readers.
Well, it definitely touched my heart. Also kind of parlaying that same chapter there where you talked about Austin, on about not getting stuck on the why. You said, God, sometimes we just have to say, God, you allowed this for a specific reason, and I know you love me, and ultimately that this will be good for me. And Romans 8:28 has been a kind of a life verse for me, that all things work together for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And right now, during this time with all this uncertainty with coronavirus, that's a verse we can stand on, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. You know, I think that's, again, though, that's being intentional about what you're saying, how you're thinking, and words you're saying to yourself about any circumstance in life. You know, it's easy to be praiseworthy and, you know, speak the right things about God in your life when things are rolling your way, but, man, when they're not, it's easy to go the other way in a hurry. And I think it's a tremendous step in our growth with him, understand to keep those same words about him and keep him in the same place in your heart, in your life, in your home, when it's not going your way. And, you know, I think that's why I talk about it in my book. Like, I never leave the house in the morning without praying with my wife and daughter. A lot of guys say, well, I pray for my family every day. Well, but are you praying with them? Like, are you circled up and intentional about it? And setting the tone in your heart, setting the tone in your life, setting the tone in your household that where God needs to be. And we started doing that as a family a couple of years ago, and it's really changed our family dynamic. I think it's changed how I lead my home. I know it's changed how our daughter looks at me as a dad, and the conviction that comes with the fact that our children are going to look to our own marriage, our own leadership styles in our home, in terms of what they're going to value and want in their own spouse someday. And if I want my daughter to, in my heart and my mind, have an idea of the type of guy I want her to end up with, I better be leading that. I better be showing that to her every day, because that's what she's going to be attracted to. And I didn't really understand all that until I started writing the book and started really researching it and digging into scripture about it. But I just think there's a lot of not only biblical truth, just some common sense, you know, self-improvement stuff in the book. But certainly that one, praying with my family every day, has been a big momentum changer in our household.
We have had a great two programs with Jimmy Dykes. I really want to encourage you to pick up a copy of this book, Jimmy Dykes, The Film Doesn't Lie, Evaluating Your Life One Play at a Time. For Jimmy Dykes, I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800 or online at cmiconsulting.com.